regulation in compliance in India. In India, what are the regulations applicable to the letter of credit? One, regulation is FEMA regulations, which are government guidelines or notifications, and Reserve Bank of India guidelines for operational issues, the operational guidelines. So, Indian bank follows the RBI's prudential norms for exposure limit, classification of contingent liability, and Basel III capital adequacy treatment. Customs and DGFT generally, they talk about the document must match with whatever they are declared under bill of entry, and accordingly the invoices which they have submitted or bill of entry which they have submitted. In case of there is a discrepancy or difference, the penalty will be levied by the DGFT or customs authorities. Here is a flow chart which I have explained just now. Similar thing, go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 like that. And then you will understand how the goods are moving, how the letter of credit is processed. This process, I will, for your benefit, I will just explain you how it works. First one, there is a sale agreement will be entered into between importer and exporter. Second point, the buyer or importer instruct to his banker, that is importer's bank or LC issuing bank, to issue the LC. LC will be issued and it will send to the exporter's bank, which is then it is called as a which will be called as an advising bank, and that is exporter's bank or advising bank. Advising bank, as soon as it receives it, it confirms its authenticity and then it hand it over or send it to the exporter. As soon as the exporter receives, then they will ship the goods and present the document to ship the goods, and thereafter they submit the document to his banker, that is advising bank or exporter's bank, and these documents will be passed down to the importer's bank for onward submission to the buyer for effecting the payment. This is in short simple mechanism, that is flow chart of letter of credit. Now, legal and regulatory framework, we have already seen that this is legal. What is the legal and regulatory framework? Reserve Bank of India regulatory framework, foreign exchange management, they have to comply with. Then RBI for that purpose issued the master direction, master circulars, as and when there will be change. Then RBI guidelines on the risk management and interbank dealings, these guidelines are also issued by the Reserve Bank of India. So prudent banker always look into the day-to-day, the RBI site, and they will see that what is the new in their notification or master direction, any changes or whatever it may be, that is mandatorily required to be handled. Then International Chamber of Commerce, this is the publication. As far as LC is concerned, there is a booklet which is called as a UCP 600, Uniform Customs and Practices for Documentary Credit. This is, there is no legal binding, but as a world, because whatever framework is made by ICC, International Chamber of Commerce, that is accepted worldwide by the trading community. So that will maintain the uniformity worldwide while handling the import and export transaction. Under the circumstances, it is obligatory, made it obligatory to the bankers in India and also banks in India to refer this UCP 600 while issuing the letter of credit, and according to the terms and conditions of or whatever the guidelines are issued, LC can be issued accordingly, and understand the role and responsibility of each party. Okay, so this is very, very important publication of International Chamber of Commerce, ICC, publication number 600, which is popularly called as UCP 600. Then Indian Contract Act 1872. Under this, there will be issue. LC can be issued. LCs can be considered to be issued under this Act. If not under UCP 600, the domestic LC can be issued under this Contract Act, Indian Contract Act 1872, and governing general principles of the contract of law. And this offer the acceptance from the on the basis of LC agreement, consideration, performance, and the breach and govern breach is governed under this Act, and it ensures the legal enforceability of LCs between the importer and exporter and the banks. Negotiable Instrument Act 1881. There are two instruments, one or three rather I can say. One is Bill of Exchange, Promissory Note, and Bill of Lading. These are the three instruments in the LC which attracts the application of Negotiable Instrument Act. Because Bill of Exchange is covered, it is transferred by way of endorsement, Bill of Exchange. Similar manner, title to the document of the goods is nothing but Bill of Lading. That also can be transferred by way of endorsement. So, these two instruments always attract the Negotiable Instrument Act 1881 rules. Then, Indian Customs Act. Customs are a different entity than the regulation, than the regulator. Okay? Because the custom authority may require the LC document for clearance of the goods. And it is essential for verification as declared in the values. So, Indian Customs Act 1962 is applicable in that case while delivering or while taking possession of the goods or while making the bill of entry. Right? Then Director General of Foreign Trade, DGFT. LCs are often linked with the export incentive like EPCG, Export Credit Guarantee Scheme. Now, Director General of Foreign Trade. LCs are often linked with the export incentive schemes such as EPCG, Advance Authorization, and LC may be stipulated as mandatory payment of the mechanism under various FTP provisions. Guidelines regarding this realization and repatriation of the proceeds may also reference to the LC terms. Legal enforceability, court. Court limits the interference unless there is a fund or gross violation of the contractual obligations. So, bank must honor our complying presentation as regard to the dispute between the buyer and seller. Now, compliance and reporting requirement, it is as far as export is concerned, export transaction has to be reported through the EDPMS, and import transaction, if it is there, then they have to report through IDPMS. In addition to that, KYC and AML norms are also required to be followed by the banks, and regular audit and the RBI inspection ensures that bank follow the procedural and regulatory discipline. Legal dispute and arbitrage. Okay. Legal arbitration clause in letter of credit. Generally, it is always there. Generally, it is there. So, LC contract can specifically dispute resolution system is mentioned. And under Indian Arbitration Act or Reconciliation or Conciliation Act 1996. Banking Ombudsman and DRT, Debt Recovery Tribunal, they may also intervene sometimes in case of LC-related default in the payment. And Indian parties also will be subject to the international arbitration if they are specified in UCP-governed LCs. Then document required under letter of credit. In an transaction, the issuing bank agrees to make the payment to the beneficiary against presentation of stipulated document. Now, which documents are stipulated? Okay, there are certain terms and conditions. terms and conditions which need to be complied with. So it is important to note that the bank deals only with the document and not goods. That is what I have explained to you. The types of document and the documents are generally governed by UCP 600 and may also subject to custom regulation and RBI guidelines and contractual agreement also. Mandatory document, as I mentioned, commercial invoice earlier also we have mentioned, and their purposes also we have discussed. So please go through this slide table, which is a short form. Complete information is provided rather than reading all the earlier slides. Here, as far as the document is concerned, it is shortly enumerated here. Then additional documents also many times required. These additional document we have not more specifically discussed, but it may consist the inspection certificate, where it confirms the goods have been inspected prior to they are shipped. And then another is the quality or weight certificate. This certificate confirms the contractual specification. Then consular invoice. It is required by the countries where it is authenticated by the importing country's consulate in our country or exporter's country. Then health and physiosanitary certificate. This is required for the food and agriculture and animal products. When it is exported at that point of time, this certificate is required. Then fumigation certificate. Fumigation certificate is required when required for the wood packaging and agricultural goods. Then beneficiary certificate. Many times beneficiary certificate is required, that exporter confirming the shipment or contract is fulfillment. That kind of certificate that beneficiary can issue. Then shipping company certificate, that confirms the vessel or seaworthiness or it compliance with the international maritime law. Then GSP certificate, that is generalized system for preferences from availing the duty benefit in importing countries. These are some additional documents that can be handled, that can be submitted. Documentary compliance under UCP 600, there is always mention that visually within 21 days from the date of shipment, the document must be prepared and submitted to the bank, that his bank, that is exporter's bank, within 21 days. There is no delay acceptable, otherwise it will be considered as a discrepancy and payment may be refused by the LC issuing bank. Then digital and electronic document. EUCP is also coming into the existence, that we will see in separate chapter. And this EUCP, documents submitted under EUCP are also required to be accepted by the bank. Then Indian regulatory requirement. Indian regulatory requirement is requirement of Reserve Bank, FEMA and Customs. That requirement is required to be complied with. Common discrepancies, very important is common discrepancies. What are generally discrepancies are general discrepancies that is observed in normal circumstances under UCP 600. These discrepancies has to be, as far as possible, need to be rectified by the exporter much before documents are sent to the importer's country so as to avoid the penalty or discrepancy charges. Now, these discrepancies may be the major reason why the payment are rejected is because of the discrepancy only. These discrepancies, common discrepancies, are mentioned here in this table, and these discrepancies are come under commercial invoice. What is happening in the commercial invoice? Description not matching with the LC terms, or missing buyer's or seller's name, or wrong currency is mentioned. As far as commercial invoice is concerned, that discrepancy will be there. Then packing list. Packing list, weight, quantity mismatch, and the invoice, quantity mismatch with invoice. Okay, missing packaging number, that will be considered as a discrepancy, common discrepancy. Then insurance document, coverage not as per the LC terms. That means LC requires 110% CIO, of 110% of the invoice value, but actually insurance is issued for the different value, and the country of the shipment or country of destination is not matching. There are so many reasons that can happen in insurance document. Certificate of origin also, there are discrepancies. So undersigned is not authorized agency. A certificate of origin is required to be issued by Chamber of Commerce, but if it is issued by the beneficiary himself, then that is not a valid, it is discrepancy. Then inspection certificate, when it is not signed, stamped by the authority who has inspected the goods, buyer may simply, instead of that, buyer issued the certificate that, yes, we have inspected the goods shipped much before its shipment and found in order. That is also not valid. So, authority who issues the certificate has to be stamped, signed on their letterhead also. Then inconsistency in the document, name, address, date, and quantity or quantity numbers, that should match to all the document. Otherwise, document will be considered as a inconsistent. Then stale bill of lading. Stale bill of lading is nothing but document is presented after the validity period of LC. That is called as a stale document. Then missing LC conditions. Certain conditions which exporter fails to fulfill, that is called missing LC condition. These are some of the common discrepancies which are normally observed in the letter of credit transactions. Now, there are there is a method of avoiding these discrepancies. Now, these discrepancies, you can very well look into how they can avoid, one can avoid. Preventive measure is understand the LC terms thoroughly. Use the document checklist, always it is prepared by the individual banks. Then coordinate with the freight forwarder and insurers. Then pre-inspection document by the advising banks. Use the standardized templates. Timely document presentation. Ensure that internal quality control process for the documentation, and consult the trade finance professional when in doubt. There are various, after doing this, there are various benefits which are mentioned against that. You may please refer to that. Now, Indian regulatory and banking practices. As per RBI or EDPMS compliance, document must also be filed digitally with the AD bank in the correct format. Customs and DGFT schemes like MEIS and RODETP requires the accurate shipping and origin documentation for the benefits to be given to the exporter, and Indian banks follows the UCP 600 rigorously with no scope for document irregularities. Role of UCP 600 in discrepancy management. Article 14 clearly suggests that document must be verified in terms of Article 14. And UCP 600 said that bank must examine the document within 5 banking days. If on the 6th banking days you take, that payment will be rejected. If documents are discrepant, then bank will have to either reject or return the document without payment or seek the importer's waiver. A discrepancy notice must be issued stating all the reason for the rejection in one go. Then avoiding discrepancy is not just a matter of clerical accuracy. It is critical to ensure the smooth and timely realization of export process. So, the exporter should invest in training, use the professional document handlers, and stay updated with international banking standard to mitigate this risk. Risk in the letter of credit and mitigation. While letter of credit is there, it carries all time various risks, and these risks are here. First risk is a discrepant document. Second is non-payment despite the shipment. Then country and political risk, exchange rate risk, fraud risk, or buyer or third party risk. These risks are also getting mitigated. Okay. Name indicates that what kind of discrepancy would be there. Like discrepant document risk means documents are itself is a discrepancy, and those discrepancies which we have already seen. Then the mitigation is to follow the LC clauses precisely. Conduct pre-check with the negotiating bank. Right? Then non-payment despite the shipment. Now, here, what has happened, description of this is that the buyer's bank may default on delayed payment, or there may be delay payment, or even if documents are clean, then better for that is issue a confirmed letter of credit. That is one mitigation. Then use a reputable issuing bank. And finally, you can consider it for the forfeiting so as to mitigate the gap also, rather than routing the document through the bank. Then country and political risk. Definitely better to take ECGC cover for all the exports so as to avoid this kind of risk. Then exchange rate risk, hedging is the best option, and fraud is a false rejection or goods, not accurately, but false rejection of the document or goods, despite it is raised after the shipment. The deal with the verified counterparties, use the third party inspection, etc., is some of the mitigation. Similarly, as far as applicant is concerned, when he receives the goods, then he will carry the risk of shipment risk, where the goods may not be shipped. So, inspection certificate is must, or there is a confirmation clause or raid clause or standby LC. This way, the shipment risk can be mitigated. Then, document forgery risk. In that, exporter sometimes submit the forged document, but to avoid that, use the third party verification and chartered surveyors services so that this risk will be avoided. Then discrepancy waiver pressure. Discrepancy waiver. Many times customer asks, yes, you waive this, I am accepting, you waive whatever discrepancy they have noticed, you waive it. But many times it is not possible because though discrepancies are acceptable to the importer or buyer, these discrepancy may not be acceptable to the bank or regulator. Therefore, mitigation is draft the strict but reasonable LC clauses and appoint the agent at the port of the discharge. That way you can mitigate that risk. And over-invoicing or under-invoicing, which is made by the exporter while shipping the document, that can be mitigated by reconciling the invoice value with actual shipment and custom declaration. Another is a fraud risk. And that risk is for the bank. Fraud risk, legal compliance, credit risk, operational risk, and foreign exchange risk. Suggesting, bank may suggest to mitigate these kind of risk by the exporter or importer. Okay. Now, fraud risk, use the document checking software. Bank can use that and flag the high risk countries or parties so that fraud can be avoided. Then legal compliance risk. Bank will have to train their staff in UCP 600 and RBI master direction and automate the LC screening process. That way, bank can mitigate that risk if the risk is of legal and compliance in nature. Credit risk. Credit risk can be mitigated by assessing the creditworthiness of the importer, collect the margin money or collateral in advance. Then operational risk, implement maker-checker concept or 4I principle in the system and train the staff accordingly, you can mitigate the operational risk. And foreign exchange risk is always, whenever there is a high fluctuation in the market, foreign currency market, then hedge with the forward contract or currency swaps, and that they can advise to the exporter or importer. Now, regulatory and systematic risk in India. RBI compliance risk, any non-compliance with the RBI master direction, okay, may result penalties. And if there is a FEMA violation, misuse or delayed payment under the LC, that can violate the FEMA regulation, impacting both banks and the customers. So customs and DGFT, always there is a chances of different value or description across the document, invoice, packing, lease, BN, that can lead to the customer scrutiny, custom scrutiny and DGFT penalties. So mitigation for that is used RBI approved format, ensure real-time data reporting through the EDPMS and IDPMS, and integrate the trade documentation system with one core banking and customs gateway. Global risk management guidelines under UCP 600. Everybody has to look into UCP 600 and think that banks are responsible for the document but not for goods. Even though goods are not received and document received, importer has to make the payment. Confirming bank bears the payment risk. Article 14 requires strict compliance in review within 5 banking days. LC is significantly reduces the counterparty and payment risk. That is why in international trade, it is very, very important to avoid the fraud and regulatory compliance. Advantages. Advantages and limitations of LC. The advantages of the letter of credit and limitations is, one is the risk mitigation for exporters and for importers. Ensure that the exporter send the goods as per the LC term in complied manner, credit compliant manner, and importer ensure that the payment is made within the agreed documents. Sorry. Assurance of the payment. The payment is granted, guaranteed by the issuing bank provided the terms and conditions are met. Access to finance. Exporter can use the LC to access the pre-shipment and post-shipment finance. Define the payment terms. And legal backing under UCP 600 are the two important aspects in international trade. Customs and compliance support, flexible structuring. These are very superficial terms. Detail we have already discussed, so I need not spend my time on this discussion. Limitations of the letter of credit. Only one limitation is that transaction under letter of credit is a costly affair. Costly affair. And second is, there are complex documentation. When complex documentations are there, it has to be used. It has to be used letter of credit. Time-consuming process. Scrutiny requires more time. This scrutiny is from the legal and technical point of view. Documentation also. And it is time-consuming. So it is time-taking, whereas it doesn't happen when there will be a simple document sent on collection basis. Then limited use in domestic trade. LC can be used in domestic trade, but very rarely, very limitedly because of its compliance nature, then dependence on the bank creditworthiness. Bank creditworthiness and amendment risk is also there. Then digitalization and LC. The evolving landscape for the global trade digitalization of the letter of credit marks a transformative shift from the traditional paper-based process to efficient and transparent secured digital transformation. International trade becomes increasingly fast-paced. Digitalized VLCs are redefining how banks, exporters, and importers manage the trade documents and payments. Traditional changes in paper-based VLCs. There will be traditional changes. What happens in digitalization? Letter of credit have historically been paper-intensive instrument, which involves multiple physical documents, time-consuming courier delays, risk of document loss, fraud, and tampering, risk of document loss, fraud, then manual document scrutiny by banks, causing it processing delay, then difficulty in aligning with the real-time trade. Then these inefficiencies are increasing the cost of the transaction. That is why there is always favoring in digitalization rather than paper-based. Digitalization of LC happens in for issuance, advising, amendment, confirmation is electronically. Then it also happens for submit and scrutiny the trade documents in digital format. Submission of document in digital format. Then enable the automated compliance check. Automatic compliance check rather than human compliance check. Then reduce the turnaround time and manual errors. Digitalized LCs are often processed through the trade finance platform such as Swift, Contour, and Bolero, or ISDOCS, TradeLens, or TradeLinks. ICC and UECP and URDTT framework. Now, EUCP is a version 2.1 is in place, which supplements the UCP 600 to allow the presentation of electronic documents, like defining the term like electronic record, presentation. These definitions and explanation is provided under that. Under URDTT, means Uniform Rules for Digital Trade Transaction, version 1 of 2021 is also in place, which is applicable to the digital trade transaction, including the digital LCs, and provides the global rules for digital transaction on interoperability. Indian regulatory development, RBI circulars, etc. are issued. ICEGATE and customs, that ICEGATE is made available for the e-documentation for the purpose to the exporters and importers. Digital signature and eBRC is also already in place, which can be used by the banks. And benefit of digitalization is none other than faster turnaround, cost efficiency, enhanced security, audit and compliance, and interoperability. There are limited challenges. Challenges always the legal and legal recognition of digital document in all the jurisdiction is still evolving. Standardization gaps between the platform and countries. Then cyber security and data protection risk and need for training and awareness among the MSME and other banks. Future outlook, if you look into ICC, WTO, and UNICITRAL, they are actively promoting the digital trade transaction harmonization. India's trade receivable discounting system for MSME, that is TREDF, and digital public infrastructure is expected to integrate with the LC-based trade. RBI's digital banking unit, that is DBU, and the fintech adoption will be further catalyzes the digital LC update. Blockchain-based LC via Contour or Komago may become the mainstream for the high-value business-to-business trade. With this, we complete our discussion on letter of credit. Thank you very much.